All right, Rabbi Moshe, good morning. Incredible daf ahead of us today. Today's daf is Yud Zayin 17, and we are picking up, and Meretz Hashem, on the top of Yud Zayin, on the bottom of Tes Zayin of the Beis, Maskif L'Rav Yosef. Well, we read this already, but I'll pick up here today. Five lines up for the bottom. I'll say, sure, this morning is dedicated by Zevi and Shoshi Daniel in commemoration of the yard site of Zevi's father, Elliot Daniel Yitzchak Yisrael ben Rafal Noach Yosef Zichrona Livracha. We hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, the Neshama will have an aliyah and the family in Nechama. Shkayach and thank you. We'll say the shirim this month are also dedicated by Leah Sol, as a zechus for a Refuah Shlema for her daughter, Ilana Bas Esther. We hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, she will have a complete and enduring Refuah. We'll say, let's begin. Let's pick up. We're picking up again. Tazayin on the base. We already read this yesterday, but let's pick up with it again. So the Gemara says, Maskif l'Rav Yosef. Hayli olam shochtin, the olam shochtin va'ochlin mi boyle. So what's Rav Yosef said? Rav Yishmael, if it's true that you are correct, and the Mishnah should have read, we are always able to shecht and eat. Furthermore, again, why was it that Basar Taiva, remember again, we saw Basar Taiva, which is an animal slaughtered just for pure consumption. Ultimately, again, why was Basar Taiva Aser? Because at the end of the day, we were in close proximity to the Mishkan. So the logic was, if you're living in such close proximity to the Mishkan, then what? There's no need to just go ahead and consume Basar Taiva. Ulebasof, my time at Ishtru. So I'll say, ultimately, in commentary to Yisrael, why is it that Basar Taiva became permitted? Dava Merach came in Mishkan. Ultimately, again, because not everyone was living in proximity to the Beis HaMikdash, top of Yud Zayin. V'chol shekin hashtag da'archiku luhu tfei. And I will say, all the more so now being in a state of diaspora when the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, of course we're even further dispersed, and what? At Halacha L'maisa, Basar Taiva should of course be permitted. Ela Amar Rav Yosef Rabbi Akivahi. Rather, Rabbi Yosef posits that in fact the Mishnah is reflecting the view of Rabbi Akiva. What did Rabbi Akiva hold? This sanyo, ki yarchik mimcha amakum asher yivcha Hashem alokecha, lashum shemo sham, vizavachta mi bekarcha umitzonacha. So what says that the pasuk says that when you will be far away from the place that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will rest his presence there, i.e. the Beis HaMikdash, so vizavachta mi bekarcha umitzonacha, you shall offer up from your bakar yitzor. Rabbi Kiva Omer, lo ba'akasov ela le'esra lahen basar nechira. I will say, the pasuk is, remember again, whereas Rabbi Shmuel understood, Rabbi Kiva are quoting psukim that occur one after the other. So whereas Rabbi Shmuel understands that the Torah is coming to permit basar taiva, ultimately again meat sacrificed for non-sacrificial purposes, Rabbi Kiva understands a little bit differently. He says Torah is coming to say ala lahasra lahen basar nechira. Torah is coming to tell us that once the Jews come into Eretz Yisrael, they are not permitted to partake of basar nechira. We'll say basar nechira literally means what? Nechira means stabbed, right? Which means an animal killed without shechita. Right? So we'll see what this means just a moment. Apparently Rabbi Kiva holds that in the desert, the laws of Shechita did not apply. And therefore, if you wanted to eat an animal, you can eat an animal. Not like you eat an animal, but what? You can kill it however you wanted to. When we come into Eretz Yisrael, so suddenly again, about what we call Basar Nechira, or an animal slaughtered through non-Shechita means, is prohibited. Va'achshav shegalu, and now that the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, yachol yachzru lehetiran arishon, I might have thought that what? That once again, basar nechira becomes permitted. Lekach shaninu li'olam shochtin. Therefore, the pasuk says, li'olam shochtin, Rabosa, which means what? That even now, in the absence of the Beis HaMikdash, we still go ahead and continue our process of shechita. So fundamental machlokis Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shmuel about what was permitted in the desert and what wasn't. Rabbi Shmuel's opinion is that halacha lemaisa, in the desert you could not eat basar taiva, right? Instead, every shechita had to be a sacrificial shechita, and ultimately, again, you would partake of meat like that. When we come into Eretz Yisrael, basar taiva becomes permitted. Right, basar taiva becomes permitted, and the chiddush of the Mishnah is hakol shochtin. Even in the absence of the Beis HaMikdash, basar taiva still remains permitted. Rabbi Akiva says, no. The novelty is as follows: in the desert, you did not have to shecht, in the desert. You could kill an animal however you wanted. Comes Eretz Yisrael, you have to go ahead and do Shechita. And now the Mishnah teaches me that even in the absence of the Beis HaMikdash, HaKol Shochtin, the laws of Shechita still apply. But of course, this is one of these machloks, and where we see that really so much machloks, we paskin, of course, like both. But again, let's go back there. But my commitment is, we'll say, what are Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shmuel arguing about? So listen to this. Rabbi Akiva Savar, Basar Taiva lo Isser Klal. Rabbi Akiva holds that ultimately, again, Basar Taiva was never prohibited. Right? Rabbi Akiva says there was always a mechanism for eating non-sacrificial meat. Right, for eating just regular meat. That mechanism always existed. Rabbi Shmuel Savar, Basar Nechiva lo Ishtri Klal. Rabbi Shmuel says, there was never a permit to eat meat, there was never permission to eat meat without Shechita. There was never such a thing like that. There was never such a thing as ultimately, again, killing an animal through some means other than Shechita. So he says, let's analyze this. Bishlam Rabbi Shmuel Hainu Dechsev, V'shachat as Ben HaBakar. So according to Rabbi Shmuel, I understand, you see, Rabbi Shmuel holds Rabbi Said, that Shechita was always a necessity. So I understand, that's why the Pasuk says what? V'shachat as Ben HaBakar. So the Pasuk says that ultimately, again, yeah, again, even in the desert, we find this concept of V'shachat as Ben HaBakar. Even in the desert, ultimately, we find this concept of Shechita. So therefore, it makes sense, El Rabbi Kiva, my v'shachat. So we'll say, what does Rabbi Akiva do with the pasuk v'shachat, which we'll say clearly seems to indicate that what? That there was shechita in the desert, to which the Gemara answers, kachim shiny. We'll say, even Rabbi Akiva, who says that in the desert you are permitted to eat meat without shechita, would agree that what? Kachim, or sacrificial items, always required shechita. There was always a din of shechita ultimately for karbanos. Bishlan Rabbi Shmuel Hanu Dichsev Hatzon VaUbakar Yishachit Lahem. Supposed to remember again, this is the pasuk where Klal Yisrael wanted meat, and Moshe Rabbeinu laments to Hakadosh Baruch Hu, how can I possibly provide meat for all of these people? Hatzon Ubakar Yishachit Lahem. Even if we shechted all of the cattle, right, all of the sheep, would there be enough meat for this entire people? So according to Rabbi Shmuel, we'll say that verbiage makes sense. Why does it make sense? Because halacha l'maaseh, according to Rabbi Shmuel, there's shechita even in the midbar. El Rabbi Akiva, mayatzon ubakar yishachet lahem, yinocher lahem miboy. Well, according to Rabbi Akiva, why does the Torah use the word yishachet, slaughter? The Torah should use what word? Yinocher, right? Yinocher ultimately, again, means stabbed, right? You can kill it however you want. To which the Gemara says, Nechira Shalahem Zoi Shechitasan. Because it will say, Rabbi Kiva will say, Shechita doesn't have to mean the actual halachic process of Shechita. What does Shechita mean? Slaughtering. Slaughtering however you slaughter. Happening in the desert, they didn't employ formal Shechita. They used Nechira. Okay. Bishlam Rabbi Shmuel Hainu Disnan Hashochef Nisnav Labiyado Vanocher Vahama Akir Patr Melechasos. So we'll say here, interestingly enough, this Mishnah, which we'll see later on, is talking about the mitzvah of Kisui Hadam. So we're going to spend the whole parak on this. So Kisui Hadam means that when you shecht certain animals, specifically chayas, non-domesticated animals, there's a mitzvah to cover the blood. Kisui Hadam, you cover the blood with earth. Or with something, we'll discuss. So the halacha is, the Mishnah says, Hashochet v'nisnav la biyado. If someone goes ahead and shechts, and ultimately, again, he batches the shechita, and ultimately, again, the animal becomes an avela. V'hanocher, or if one stabs the animal, i.e., does not shecht it, but kills it in some different way. V'hama'aker, or one goes and uproots the simonim. Pater milachasos. Ultimately, again, one is pater from covering the blood. So we'll say, if you look at Rashi for just a moment, Rashi says, pater milachasos, dechsev, it's right, it's about 6 lines up from before the lines get wide. Dechsev asher yochal, or asher yachal, b'shafach v'kisa, b'roi la'achila ha'kosov medaber, v'afilu man d'mechayiv kisoi b'shoche v'nimsa shreifa, hachamo, d'shchita, but you know, d'gamar shvicha shvicha m'shachot. So let's listen to this. So the Gemara says, so if you go ahead, the halacha is, again, we'll see this in greater depth later on, but the halacha is you're only chayiv to cover the blood in a situation where the animal is fit for consumption. But if the animal is rendered unfit, either intentionally or unintentionally, there is no mitzvah of kisui. So we'll say, so ultimately, again, this makes sense according to Rabbi Shmuel. However, again, El Rabbi Akiva, Am I potter melechasos? So Rabbi says, it's actually a very interesting question. So the Gemara says, according to you, Rabbi Akiva, you hold, Rabbi say, what was done in the desert? What was done in the desert? Nechira, killing the animal. Which tells us that on some level, an act of killing an animal, right, for the sake of consumption, not with shechita, is still a bona fide mechanism. Even if it doesn't work now, at some point in time, historically, it did work. The Gemara entertains the idea that the fact that historically it did work should be enough, what? To make you obligated in the mitzvah of kisui adam. So this is actually quite interesting. No one is suggesting, of course, that nechira, that stabbing the animal would allow you to consume the animal, but because at some point in time, historically, it was a valid form of slaughter, you should at least have the obligation to do kisui hadam, which is very interesting. To which the Gemara says, no. Hoil v'isser isser. Even Rabbi Akiva would agree that nechira was only permitted in the desert. Once they came into Eretz Yisrael, it was prohibited. And once it was prohibited, it was prohibited. It is prohibited. And therefore, again, there's no longer a valid mechanism of slaughtering an animal. And therefore, of course, if you killed an animal in that way, there is no mitzvah of kisui. So, Bishlam Rabbi Akiva, Domar Basar Taivalo, Isser Klal, supposed to listen to this. So, according to Rabbi Akiva, who says that Basar Taiva was never prohibited, remember, we're going to both say, Rabbi Akiva holds that Halach Lamaise, even in the desert, they were permitted to slaughter animals for their own private consumption purposes. Hainu Dichsev, Ach Kasher, Ye Ochel, Esat Svi Esa Ayal, Kein Tochlenu Hatame Vatar Yachtav Yochlenu. Just like a person eats the tzvi and the ayal, right? So too, again, so too the tamei and tar could eat together as well. So we'll say that pasuk actually teaches us a different halacha, which the Gemara is not referencing right now. You're going to see what it's referencing. It's referencing specifically the tzvi and the ayal. El Rabbi Shmuel, tzvi va'ayal gufa mi havishari. But remember again, what's interesting about the tzvi and the ayal is that what? Is that, again, the tzvi was never offered up for sacrificial purposes. So the Torah is teaching me about the ability to eat something that was clearly a non-sacrificial animal. So according to Rabbi Akiva, that works fine. Why? Because in the desert, you're permitted to eat basar taiva. According to Rabbi Yishmael, where basar taiva is usher, the only time you could eat meat in the desert, Rabbi say, is when? Is if you were offering up a karban, then what is Ayal doing over here? To which the Gemara says, no. Ki aser rachmana behema dechazi lahakrava. Second wide line, Yizayin Amdav. Bosei an incredible halacha, which tells you that what? When is Basar Taiva Asr? It's actually very interesting. According to Rabbi Shmuel, Basar Taiva is only Asr when? If it was the type of animal which could have been offered up for sacrificial purposes. So for example, if you wanted lamb, the halacha was the only way for you to eat lamb was how? To offer it up as a karban, and then you get your portion of the karban. But an animal which was not fit for sacrificial purposes was permitted to be slaughtered even for my own personal consumption purpose. So it's actually an incredible qualification. Even according to Rabbi Shmuel, who holds that basar taiva, meat for personal consumption, cannot be slaughtered in the desert. The only way for you to eat meat is to offer a karban and eat the meat from that. That's only true for animals which are fit for karbanic purposes. But an animal which is categorically excluded from karbanic consumption is permitted for personal consumption. So for example, the tzvi, a deer. Let's say you cannot offer, there is no karban for which a deer is offered. Even Rabbi Shmuel would agree that if you wanted, what is deer, venison? Is that been right? If you wanted venison, ultimately, again, you could shech that ultimately on your own. Good. But Rabbi Yirmiyah, I'm supposed to say, this is a great case, by the way. A great, I was supposed to say, this is good Shabbos table conversation. Watch this. Good Shabbos table trivia. But Rabbi Yirmiyah, as an aside, you know, it's mamish, oh, it is so important. It's just a commercial break for just a second. It is so important to come to the Shabbos table so armed with good conversation. I don't mean small talk. I mean like Torah conversation. And not just the Vart, but something that ultimately, again, engages especially children in the Shabbos table. It doesn't have to be on the parasha. It could be a question. It could be a scenario. It could be a Choshen Mishpat case. It could be whatever you want. But Shabbos table represents the opportunity, mamish, for engagement. Not for like a monologue. It's not the time for you to give a Kol Midrei Drasha. Right? But it's mamish, just an opportunity to engage children specifically. So all kidding aside, when you see these kind of questions that come up, they're quite amazing. So watch this. So by Rabbi Yirmiyah, a vari baser nechira shechnisu yisrael iman la'aretz Mahu. Rabbi say, watch this. If you hold, like Rabbi Akiva, that there was no shechita in the desert. There was no shechita in the desert. Right? Except for Karbanos HaShechita, even according to Rabbi Akiva. So I shechted for myself. So, right, it's Monday. So Monday is lamb chop. So I shechted for myself, right, a sheep, right? And I killed the sheep. I knocked it over the head, right? I killed the sheep. Now I have my lamb chops. We have leftovers. Yoshua announces that Tuesday we're going into Eretz Yisrael. I don't want to throw out the lamb chops. So I bring the lamb chops with me into Eretz Yisrael. So I say, so now here's the Shaila. What's the status of the lamb chops? Right? That meat was not gotten through shechita. Right? That meat ultimately was from an animal that was killed. So now remember again, everyone's agreeing that once you come into Eretz Yisrael, what's the halacha? Shechita. So now the Shaila is, what if I have desert leftovers? I have desert leftovers, meat that was killed through non-shechita means that was brought into Eretz Yisrael. Can I eat the meat? What's an incredible shayla, no? Can I eat the meat? Mao, Ema. So Rosh Hashanah says, when is this happening? Ilema, watch. Rosh Hashanah, this is amazing. Ilema b'sheva shakavshu. So I say, if you want to say that's what? That is during the 7 years of conquest of Eretz Yisrael, then for sure I can eat it. And I will say, watch this. Hashta dover tamei ishtarilahu. Rosh Hashanah, during the 7 years of conquest, The Jews were permitted to eat, at least the soldiers were permitted to eat anything they wanted. Dichsiv, ubatim maleim koltuv. Well, say the Torah says that when you conquer Canaan, you'll be able to conquer homes that are filled with good things. Say, what does good things refer to? Kasli dechaziri. Well, say, what's kasli dechaziri? Rashi says, I'm in the wide lines of Rashi, about 6 lines. In kasli dechaziri, chazirim yevashin. Shekorin bekainish. I will say bacon. That ultimately, I will say, when the Jewish soldier was conquering Eretz Yisrael, it's bacon for breakfast, right? I'm saying, right? It's mamish, like, and dinner maybe also. You know, it's bacon whenever you want. So as I say, the idea of it is incredible. So during the 7 years of conquest, ultimately, again, we can eat whatever we want. So if I can mamish eat the bacon of the Canaanim, then of course I can eat the leftover meat that I brought with me from the desert. So we'll say, so what's the Shaila? So the Gemara says, Ela la'achamikan. So I'll say, ultimately again, rather the question must be after the 7 years. We'll say, are you asking, how do you have leftovers after 7 years? They salted it. Okay, you could preserve meat. You could age meat for a very long, right? See, correct? Right, you could age meat for a very long time, right? So ultimately, again, they aged the meat and they kept it with them. Ultimately, again, after the 7 years, so Shiloh's, I have the leftovers. Am I permitted to go ahead and eat it? To which the Gemara says, similarly, olam b'sheva shekivshu. Ultimately, you will say the other possibility is that no, it's actually during the 7 years of conquest, and perhaps we could say ki ishtiri lehu shalosha of the kochavim, the dol or ishtiri. And we'll say the Shiloh is even during the 7 years. Maybe of conquest, maybe the permit to eat non-kosher food is that which is from the spoils of the Canaanim. But maybe that doesn't apply to the food that they killed while they were in the desert. To which the Gemara says, Teku. So we're not sure. We're not sure we don't know what happened. Again, I'll say, obviously, this is a very specific scenario that only exists according to Rabbi Akiva. Because according to Rabbi Yishmael, they were slaughtering in the desert as well. So according to Rabbi Akiva, says that they were not slaughtering, but they were able to kill the animal however they wanted. What did they do with leftovers that came into Canaan? Ultimately, again, a teku. Says the Gemara, Amar Rabba, Shanes HaKol Shochtin, Uli Olam Shochtin, Bakol Shochtin. So we'll say, listen to this. So Rabbi says, okay, we're going now through the Mishnah. So we've already learned what HaKol Shochtin means. We also already learned what Li'olam Shochtin means. What does Bakol Shochtin mean? Bakol Shochtin, my Mishanesle. V'chi tema, maybe you'll say Bakol Shochtin means, you can check with anything, Bein Bitzor, Bein Bitzchuchis, Bein Mikrom, Mishalkana. So maybe you'll say Bakol Shochtin literally means what? Bakol Shochtin. That you can check with whatever you want, a stone, a piece of glass, a sharpened reed, Hadum yodahanach katani. So we'll say, here's the problem. Bakol shochtin has to resemble the previous phrases of hakol shochtin and the olam shochtin. I hanach b'shochtin. If the previous phrases are referring to the people who can shecht, then Bakol Shochtin has to be referring to the people who can Shecht as well. V'hanach b'nishchatin, and if the previous phrases are referring to those items which can be Shechtin, then what? Hainami b'nishchatin. Then this statement also has to be referring to what? To those who are Shechtin. Ela Amar Rava, rather Rava says like this. No. Hakol Shochtin chada, lasui ekusi, v'chada lasui Yisrael Mumer. So we'll say, so the truth is, now we've had two statements of Hakol Shochtin. Right? So we'll say, so one statement of Hakol Shochtin was coming to include who? Was coming to include a kusi. That a kusi is permitted to Shecht as long as he, well, again, we already spoke about this case, whether you need the Yisrael Omid Al Gabov, or whether it's just enough if he eats of his own shechita, if he eats of a shechita, you can eat of a shechita. And the second Hakol Shochtin is coming to teach you that what? That even a Yisrael Mumer, right? Even if a Yisrael who is a Mumer Shecht, you're permitted to eat of a shechita. Li Olam Shochtin. Rabbi say, what does the phrase Li Olam Shochtin teach me? Bein Bayom, Bein Balayla. That teaches me that I could shecht by day and by night. We learned that already before. Bein Barosh Agag, Bein Barosh Asfina. And you can shecht whether you're shechting on the top of the roof or on the top of the boat. Again, we'll discuss these cases in greater depth. Bakol Shochtin. Rabbi say, what does Bakol Shochtin come to teach me? Bein Bitzur, Bein Bischuchis, Bein Mikro Meshalkana. Bakol Shochtin, Rabbi say, literally is a statement about the utensil. That Bakol Shochtin teaches me that I can shecht with the stone, I can shecht with a piece of glass, I can shecht ultimately again with a sharpened reed. With the exception of, this is the Mishnah, says, Chutz mimagil kotzer v'hamegira. Both say, with the exception of a hand sickle, right, a handheld sickle, or a megira. Both say, a megira is a saw. So we'll say, now we're going to get into a little bit what type of utensils cannot be used for shechita. Abua de Shmuel, paga meshadar, paga meshadar. So let's listen to this. So the father of Shmuel, Rabbi Yosef went ahead and he was pogim a knife. He purposely made a nick in a knife. And he sent it off to the Rabbanim, whoever they were, to go and ask the Shaila. Well, he was trying to figure out what type of pigima, what type of nick in the knife invalidates the Shechita. So what he literally did, Rabbi Yosef, was what? He nicked the knife and he sent it, he FedExed it to the Rabbanim. Is this the type of pigima that passes? Is this the type of pigima that passes? And what happens? The Shad, the Gemara says, Shochule. And I will say, they said to him that the type of pigima that invalidates a shechita is that if the knife is like a saw. Now look at Rashi just a moment, second to last line in Rashi. Kimegirashan in Rashi says, Shepigimosel michuvanos lo umkan. So essentially, the type of invalidation is if it is like a saw. We'll say, what does it mean it's like a saw? That a saw ultimately, again, has the teeth and has the indentation in between the teeth. So if it has the indentation in between the teeth, essentially we'll say, like an A, and therefore again it has 2 points, which means I will say what? That if you're running your finger along the sharp side of the knife, your finger is going to get stuck on 2 points. Point number one from front to back, or point number two from back to front. That is the type of nick which ultimately invalidates the knife. Tan Rabbanam, so let's analyze this. Amud Beis, design Amud Beis. Sakin Shiesh Ba Pigimas Harbe. If you have a sakin, if you have a knife that has many pigimos, many, many nicks or imperfections. So what's the halacha? Tidon p'megira. Ultimately, again, it is going to be treated like a saw. V'she'in ba'ela p'gima achos. So we'll say if it only has one p'gima, or if it only has one nick, then what? So we'll say, so it depends on the nature of the nick. So ogeres psula misuchseches k'sheira. If it's ogeres, and we'll say, so we'll define these terms in just a moment, then it's possible. If it's misuchseches, it's k'sheira. What does this mean? Hechi dami ogeres, hechi dami misuchsech. So we'll say, what is the definition of these terms? Amr b'laza, so here we go. So says the Gemara. Amr b'laza, Amr Rabbi Eliezer, excuse me, ogeres mishtei ruchos. So we'll say, ogeres means that ultimately, again, your finger will feel the pigima on both sides. Which we'll say, so again, ogeres literally means collected. So I'll say, if you think about it, going back to what we said before, if the nick is like an A, so what that means is whether you're coming on the knife from front to back or whether you're coming from back to front, ultimately, again, your finger will get caught by the nick. On the other hand, Mechsuchseches Meiruach Achos. Shabbos say Mechsuchseches, on the other hand, ultimately again, is on one side. Shabbos say, if you could imagine for a moment the way this works is, if you could imagine if you have a knife and if you're looking at it from the front to the back, and the front of the knife is one level, then it goes up, right? Then it goes up and comes back down. So I'll say, so if you think about it again, that nick will only be felt from one way, only if you're going from front to back. But if you're going from back to front, your finger will not get caught in the nick. So says the Gemara, that's misuchseches miruach achos. So the Gemara is suggesting over here that if ultimately, again, it's ogeres, so we'll say if the nick is like an A, and therefore the finger would get stuck both ways, then ultimately, again, that is an invalidating pegima. If ultimately, again, it's misuchseches, and the finger would only get caught from one direction, then ultimately, again, that does not invalidate the shechita. So mashna mishtei ruchos. So the Gemara, so we'll say, why is it that if the nick has two parts to it, meaning from both directions, ultimately it invalidates? Because the morsha kama machlish or morsha kama baza. Because we'll say, we say that the first part of the nick ultimately weakens the hide, the second part of the nick tears through the animal. Meruach achas nami chorfa de sakina machlish morsha baza. We'll say, I should say the same thing by a knife, even with what we call the mechsuchseches. Why? The first part of the knife weakens the hide, cuts through the hide, and then when you get to the nick will tear, to which the Gemara says, Meruach achas nami chofer de sakino machlish, morsha baza, dekoyim aresha de sakino. Ultimately, you know, because we're talking about a case where the nick is at the front of the knife, that we call the top, or the front end of the knife. In which case, Ganabo say it's the nick that's actually causing the initial cut, but by the time you get to actually cutting the simanim, you're on the part of the knife that already is nickless. To which the, I don't know if that's the word, but it's okay. So the Gemara says, sof, ki azla machlasha. Ultimately, again, it's, I'm sorry, sof, ki azla machlasha, ki azla baza. So I'll say, so therefore again, the Gemara says, but still again, when I'm going ahead and I'm moving the knife back and forth, ultimately, I'm going to say, when I move it, so again, I'm going to say, remember, as we've said already, the way that shechita is done, ideally, is molech umevi. So therefore, I'm going to say, what that means is, at the end of the day, if there's a nick on the knife, that nick is going to hit the shechita regardless. So again, even if it's just what we call misuseches, it's still going to be a problem. So the Gemara says, kigon, shaholech velo hevi. We'll say, to which the Gemara says, what's the case? The case is where you did not move the knife back and forth. They're both saying, now this actually, we're going to get into this later on, but this is actually quite interesting, because we thought, we said before, that halacha is that in order for shechita to be valid, you have to move back and forth. There is an exception to that rule. What's the exception to that rule? With a very long knife. Right? If you have a very long knife, so both say, the idea of molech umevi is, I want a certain amount of cutting to occur, to know for sure that you've gone through both of the simanim. So the idea is, if you have an exceptionally long knife, so that amount of cutting is done, just even though it's done one in one direction. So also that would be a case where if the pegima is there, it would not necessarily impact the simanim. Amar Rava, gimel midos pesakin. Rava says, essentially, there are three different halachas when it comes to a knife. Or I should say, three different cases, we'll say. Ogeres lo yishrot. We'll say, if it's a case of ogeres, what's the ogeres? We'll call it, that's the A pigima, A type pigima. Where literally, again, they're about to say the nick in the knife is like the letter A, and therefore, again, halacha lamais, I'm getting caught. I feel the pigima, whichever direction on the knife I'm coming from. So we'll say the halacha is you should not use that knife for shechita. Then shachat shechita sopsula. Ultimately, we'll say if you use that knife for a shechita, the shechita is possible. First, wide line, you sign up with days. Michsuch seches. Rabbi say, remember again, that's the case where the pegima is only felt in one direction, but not in the other. Lo yishchot v'lechatchila. Ideally, you should not use that knife for shechita, lechatchila. V'mshachat shechita sokshera. But if you used it, ultimately, again, the shechita is kasher. Ola v'yoreit besakin. Rabbi say, if you have a case, ultimately, again, of ola v'yoreit. So we'll say, ola v'yoreit is a case of where the knife is not even. So we'll say, so this is actually an interesting case. The blade is just, it goes up and down. Now there's not a pegima. Because we'll say, remember again, pegima means what? A nick, right? There's a nick in the knife. But ultimately, again, Ole V'yored means just the bottom is just not level. So the ideally over here, what's the halacha? Shochei palachatilis. This is actually quite interesting. So if you have a non-leveled knife, but without a pegima, again, Abosik, remember, the pegima is the nick. So because of the nick, the concern is of tearing. That's the concern of the nick. That concern doesn't, although ideally, I think lachatila, we probably would want you to have a level knife, but it appears that if the knife is just, I don't know what the right word is, what is it? Warped. Good, curved. Curved. Right, it's just, I'm sorry, I didn't, right? If it was curved, right, then ultimately, again, it could still be used even lachatila. Good. Amr le rafuna b'rid rav nechani le ravashi. Amr le mishman de rava. Michsuseches psula. So Rabbi said, we just said before that the knife that is misuchseches is psula. So I'm sorry. So now Rabbi is saying misuchseches is psula. Really? Vamarava misuchseches ksheira. Rabbi said, what did we just say before? We just said before that a misuchseches is kasher. Rabbi said again, the misuchseches is the knife where the pegima is only felt in one direction, not in both directions. So we just said before that a misuchseches ultimately again is kasher. So which one is it? Lo kasha, kan sheholich vehevi, kan sheholich velo hevi. Rabbi says, this is what we just said before. That's what? That halacha lemaisa, it depends. If the blade is short, and therefore is going to require what? A back and forth motion, then even the misuchseches is possible. But if the knife is long enough that the act of cutting, a proper act of cutting, can be done in just one direction, therefore Rabbi says, essentially, the animal will never even feel the effects of the misuchseches, in which case such a knife will be kosher. Amali Ravacha Braid Rav Avil Ravashi. So Damya Lisasa. So ultimately again, Damya Lisasa Mag. So we'll say look at Rashi just a moment. What's Damya Lisasa? Third wide line in Rashi, Damya Lisasa. So Rashi says, Zekan Hashibalim, She'ino Chalak. Kach Sakin She'in Pia Chalak. About pigam ein lablas. So we'll say, so sasa literally again is like the top of the kernel. What happens if you have an afrabosai, which ultimately again essentially is bumpy. It doesn't have a pigima, but it has bumps on it. So we'll say, so what's that locha with such a knife? Amr Leis, so he says to him, man yohev lan mi bisrei va'achilna. So it says, Rav Achabri, Rav Avi is asking Ravashi, what's the status of the bumpy knife? So Ravashi says, oh, if only someone would give me a piece of meat from such a shchita, how much I would eat. So it's another way, I guess he was hungry and he was answering the shayla. Right, so again, let's say, so in other words, yes, I would eat that meat with no problem, i.e. it's kosher. Amna Chista, so we'll say, minayim lebedikas sakim minatora. So we'll say, from where do we know? So we'll say, so clearly what's happening over here is as follows. The Mishnah is teaching me, the Gemara is teaching me, that a knife has to be inspected before being used for shechita. From where do I know this obligation that the knife has to be examined prior to being used for shechita? Shnei Amar, because the pasuk says, "Ushechatetem bazeh va'achaltas." We'll say, interestingly enough, this is from the pasuk in Shmuel Aleph, where Shaul ultimately says, "Ushechatetem bazeh va'achaltem." You shall shecht with this, and we shall eat. So both say, the Gemara almost understands that what's happening over here is that Shaul is presenting them with a knife and telling them, "Ushechatetem baza, shecht with this," which tells us that what? Which the Gemara is supposing that the knife has to be examined, has to be inspected before it is used for shechita. So the Gemara says, I don't understand, I don't even need a pasuk. Pshita, kevan dechi nakav trefa baya bedika. Both say, it's very simple, because if the knife is nicked, and the animal is shechted with a nicked knife, it could create a trefa. So therefore, Rabbi said, because the knife has the ability to render the animal a trefa, it makes sense that logically, what should be the halacha? You have to check the knife before you shecht. I don't need a pasuk. This is kind of pashit. So the Gemara says, no, you're not saying l'chacham kamidan. No. What I'm asking is, how do I know that there's an obligation to show the knife to a talmud chacham prior to shechita? To which the Gemara says, but 1 second. Ultimately, again, but we said already before that you're right, there is no obligation to go ahead and show the knife to a Talmud Chacham. Rather, again, we do that out covet to a Talmud Chacham. So we spoke about this before, that one of the ways in which you demonstrate covet to the community's Talmud Chacham is the Shochtim show him their knives. And I will say, but halacha lemaisa, that's actually not the halachic obligation al shchita, that is an obligation al kavod tamidei chachamim. Rather, again, the Gemara says midrabanan ukras machda ba'amu. You're right to say at the end of the day, the obligation to go out and check the knife prior to shchita is actually just a logical, intuitive obligation, right? Rather, again, the pasuk is midrabanan just nas machda. Good. The ma'arava batki labishnisha. So we'll say now that everyone's going to talk about how they used to check knives. So in Eretz Yisrael, batki labishimsha, they would check the knife in the sun. So Rashi says over here, so either two possibilities, Rashi says, that halacha lemaisa, either they would go ahead and hold the knife up to the sun and see the shadow. And see the, well, again, simple, just go with the first approach, Rashi. They would hold the knife up to the sun and they would look at the shadow that the knife would cast. And we'll say, what would that show them? That would show them if there was a nick. You'd be able to see in the shadow casted by the knife if there was a nick or not. Okay. The Gemara says, Benarda, Batkilo Bemayo. In Babel, Narda, they would check it in water. We'll say, which Rashi says sounds like what would they would do? They would take the knife and they would skim it against the surface of the water. If there was a nick, you would see the ripples in the water. So that's how they would check it. Rav Sheshes, Badak Le Beresh Lishna. We'll say Rish Lakish would check the knife against his tongue, right? He would run the surface of the knife against his tongue. If the knife, we'll say again, it's an incredible motivation to keep your chalif in good working order, right? If you're gonna, we'll say I'm a serious. That, again, just so you understand that's why this was done. This was done in order to encourage people ultimately again keep your knife in tip top order. And we'll say obviously. This is not like a samurai move, like he's taking it down. They're running it slowly. So we'll say, so obviously, again, when you're running it slowly, you're gonna feel the nick. Don't try this, but you're gonna you go home, you see your wife, you know, cutting up the brisket. Hey, give me that for a second. So the idea over here is, that they're taking it slowly. So the idea is you're going to feel the nick against your tongue before it goes on. So, Badek Reish Lishna, Ravacha Bar Yaakov, Badek Le Bechot Asara. What he would do is he would cut a hair. He would cut a hair, ultimately again, and see what the knife would do, ultimately again, against the hair. Bisura Amin Surah, they said, Bisra Achla, Bisra Labatka. If the knife is used to cut meat, ultimately, again, it should be checked against me. So we'll say what they would do is, they would actually, Rashi says over here, Bistra Achla, he ba lachtoch basar, lefichach ikar bidikasa ba basar, obreish lishna oba basar etzbo. So we'll say, so in Surah they would say that you have to check the knife against flesh. The knife is going to cut flesh, you have to check it against flesh. Either check it ultimately again against your tongue or on your finger. In other words, it doesn't have to be the tongue. The idea just would be you have to check it against flesh. Oh, we're going to see that in just a moment. So the Gemara says, "Rapapa Amar Tzricha Badika Abisra Va'aturfa Va'atlasa Ruchsa." So what Rapapa said is actually quite chumer. The knife has to be checked Abisra ultimately Abisra against the flesh, Aturfa against your fingernail, and on all three sides. So we'll say the fingernail would be. Again, you literally run the knife across the fingernail. If there's a nick in the knife, it's going to get caught in the nail. And I will say what he adds in over here is we'll see in just a moment on all three sides. So that means just a moment. Amalei Ravim Ravashi. Amalei Rav Sama Brei Ravashi. Rav Mishershia Mishmach. So the Amrit Lei Mishmei Derava. Tzricha Bedika Bisra. I will say you have to check it against flesh. And I will say, remember again, Bisra ultimately again can mean a couple of things. Bisra can mean Bisra against your finger. Bisra can mean against your tongue. Bisra just means against flesh. The knife itself has to be checked against flesh. Va'akturfa, and against the fingernail. Va'atlasa ruchsa, and on all three sides. What all three sides means is it's not just enough to examine the blade of the shechita knife, but rather what? I will say the sides also have to be checked for any kind of nicks. Amarle. Abisra va'aturfa amri. So he responded, I agree that the knife has to be checked against flesh, again, either against the tongue or against the finger, va'aturfa, and it has to be checked against the fingernail as well. I agree with those. Va'atlasa ruchsa lo amri. But I never said anything about the need to check it against all three sides. And what he was saying is, I only feel that the blade of the knife has to be checked for nicks. I'm not worried about the sides. So the Gemara says, Ikedar, also an alternate version is Abisra va'aturfa utlasa ruch sa'amri. Other people say versions have it like this. That I agree that it has to be checked ultimately again against flesh, either tongue or finger, or we'll say, or and also against the fingernail and all three sides. But mishmei Rava lo amri. But I never said this over in the name of Rava. Okay, Ravina Ravacha brei Rava habu yasvi kamei Ravashi. So let's listen to this. Ravina Ravacha brei Rava sitting before Ravashi. Aisu sakin lekamei Ravashi labatka. So we'll say one of the shochtim brought a knife in front of Ravashi to go ahead and check the knife. Amarle the Ravacha brei Rava bitka. Go check it. Go check the knife. Batka aturfa va'abisra va'atlasa ruchsa. So we'll say, so what happens? Rav Acha checked the knife. How did he check the knife? Aturfa. Right? So we'll say, so remember again, batka aturfa, he bless you. He went ahead and he checked it against his fingernail. He ran it against his fingernail. Abisra. So we'll say, remember, we'll say, abisra, we don't know, specific, abisra just means a category. It has to be checked against flesh. Checked against flesh means could be running it against your tongue, could be running it against your finger. So we'll say ultimately again, and he checked all three sides of the knife. So we'll say again, remember, you don't obviously have to check the top side, right? The top, right? The top thin part of the knife, because that doesn't matter. But you have to check the blade and you have to check the two sides. So amarle, yosher, shkoyach, v'chein amar Rav Kahana. Ultimately again, and so too again, Rav Kahana agreed with this approach as well. Rav Yemar says, aturfa va'abisra tzvicha, atlasa ruchsa. So we'll say ultimately again, so now we have a different approach. Rav Yemar said, you have to check, we'll say you have to check the knife against your fingernail, and you have to check the knife against flesh of some sort, but ultimately again, you do not need to check it on the three sides of the blade. After all, mi lo amar rabzeira amar shmuel, li bein sakin v'shachat ba shchitasil ksheira. Ultimately, again, we'll say, didn't we learn before that what? That if you go ahead and you heat up a knife and you shecht with that knife, the shechita is kasher. Why? Shechiduda kodem lilibuna. Because ultimately, again, what Rabbi was saying, we assume the sharpness of the knife cuts the animal before the heat. And Rabbi was saying, now the heat is most acutely felt where? On the sides. So what that tells us is the sharp part of the knife cuts the base of shechita before the sides ever come in contact. Ultimately, again, the Gemara says, but how could that be? V'kashilon ha'ikat zdadin. Ultimately, again, we said, but what about the sides of the knife? V'aminon, here we go. Beis ha'shchita merbach rabach. We say the way shchita works is when you cut open the animal, you cut open the simanim, the beis ha'shchita expands. We'll say, now what does it mean it expands? On a very simple, what it means is that when you cut it, it opens up. It opens up. So which means is the sides of the knife do not come in contact with the beis ha'shchita. Hachanami beis hashchita merbach rav. So we'll say the same way that if what? The same way that if halacha lemaisa, you cut open, if you heat up the knife, and ultimately again you cut with the heated up knife, we say the shchita is good. Why, Rabbi Osai? Because we don't assume that it's the heat of the sides of the knife which burn the beis hashchita open, but rather again it's the sharpness of the knife that cuts. So we'll say so too over here, just in a regular case. We assume that, Rabbi Osai, what is it that checks the animal? The sharp part of the knife. The sides of the knife are not really involved in the shechita at all. So because of that, halacha lemaisa, the Gemara says that what? The Gemara says that you do not have to go ahead and, or at least this opinion says, that you do not have to check the sides of the knife. The same way I don't have to check the top, I don't know what do you call the top edge of the knife. Right, the back of the knife, right? The top edge of the knife. You don't have to check because it doesn't come in contact with the shechita. So too, again, the Gemara is suggesting that ultimately, again, the sides of the knife need not be examined as well because they do not come in contact ultimately, again, with the sides of the shechita. So we'll say, all right, we'll stop over here for today. We don't have enough time to go ahead and record the parsha shib, and Emir Tzashem will record that afterwards. Emir Tzashem, shkoyach. Yeah.